SOS Radio Podcast.
Life issues, artist interviews, and faith.
Downloading now.
We're playing Blank Space on SOS Radio with Jeff and Mike from 10th Avenue North. All right, guys, you ready? It's a fill-in-the-blank game. You know, we do this Vegas style. We got our cards right here. There's a fill-in-the-blank on each of these. And what I want you to do, Mike, you go first. You pick a card, read the card, and then I want you to say the first three things that come to mind. The first three things, no matter how crazy they are.
The best advice I ever got was... fill in the blank. Stop drinking soda. Get more sleep. And never should on yourself.
Okay, what does that mean?
It means like I should have done this, I should have done that, I should have done that. You need to say I could have done that so that it empowers you again and you move on from your regret.
All right, Jeff, are you going to regret this card that you pulled?
I am going to regret... No, I'm not. This isn't that difficult. It says, a major turning point in my life was fill in the blank. I'm sure everyone's thinking of that moment right now in their cars. But I would say mine would be when I moved to Florida. I was trying to go back to college. That was an epic fail. Not because I failed out. I knew everything I needed to know. There was a young adult ministry that Mike was a part of, and that's how I met the band. But it was the first time I saw peers my age that understood what they believed about the gospel. You know, we were at an age where we were drawing our own lines in the sand. And I had peers, friends, that knew scripture to support the things that they believed. It was mind-blowing.
It's possible.
All right, Mike, another card.
Oh, man. When I was a kid, fill in the blank. When I was a kid, my parents lost me momentarily at Disney World because I was a leash kid. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You were like walking around there. You were like their pet.
To give you any idea what
little
kind of
monkey
child
backpack
I was.
Thing.
Yes. Well, they had me on a leash, and my mom said they're walking around Disney World,
Sharon.
And she sees a kid walk by, and she goes, that kid looks just like Mike. And then she looks back down at the leash, and I had taken the leash off and put it on another kid. So my mother was almost thrown out of Disney World on kidnapping charges.
And they kept the kid on that leash.
Yeah, and now I am actually that kid.
So at least you don't have an extra brother.
Wait. Okay, mine says, I had a personal breakthrough when fill in the blank. Personal breakthrough. I'm still waiting for that personal breakthrough. No, I'm kidding.
How about when you grew a mustache?
I did. The mustache is new.
My wife.
That's my answer. I woke up one morning and my wife said, "You should grow a mustache." And I said, "Let's do this." And so here it is, still growing.
It's looking better every day. I gotta
Thanks.
Say.
Yeah, it's coming in. You know,
it's less like a dead squirrel pelt.
Little super troopers.
Yes, it. I feel like I have a little more confidence. I feel like people pay attention when I talk now. I'm turning down job offers left and right. They're just coming into me, you know.
Got out of a speeding ticket and the Nevada Highway Patrol is all excited.
He is Las Vegas right now. He's got a flowered shirt
Vegas.
On, a beautiful furry stash. He's ready to do it. We flew in late last night. We somehow resisted the glow of the In-N-Out sign and went to bed at a reasonable hour. Among other things, there's a lot of glowing things here, but...
In-N-Out shined above them all.
In-N-Out was right out our window and we're getting pulled down, but we went to sleep. And
when you could mix neon lights... and animal style fries.
It's like moths to a flame, bro. You know.
Now you're talking.
See, we're going deep this morning on SOS Radio. You know, Mike. I know you wrote a book recently, and you were digging into God's will.
Yeah.
You know, you wrote a new album, Jeff, and you've been digging into regret and our past, and digging into looking at the future. I mean, there's a lot of things. I can tell that you guys have some deep conversations when you guys are traveling this country.
Yeah, we had a lot of deep ones. Traveling with our buddy Charles here, but you know, when you spend a lot of time together on the bus, on the road, and everybody's reading the headlines, and it's kind of like an open forum a lot of the times. We can sort a lot of things out, but yeah, I mean, we've always wanted to write from a place of honesty and kind of rejuvenation for people, and this was our sixth record, so writing this record called No Shame, we were like, what have we got left to say? What's our... What's our purpose here? It's kind of funny asking that, you know, after you've been in the industry for a long time, you're like, what really are we doing here? And so we felt like lifting people's shame is a big part of what we've kind of always done. We have that word a lot in our lyrics.
Yeah, it's interesting because you think about, like, your kids and you think about, like, you're trying to tell them, hey, this was a bad decision or this was dumb, why'd you do that, versus saying you are bad. And shame is really, like, the you are bad part of it, not, hey, you did something dumb that you can work past.
Yeah, shame, well, at least toxic shame is the voice that says you're too needy, you're too much, you're unredeemable. And so we wholeheartedly disagree, you know. There is no person, no thing who's unredeemable in the eyes of God.
You have a new song called Greater Than My Regrets. It's got a brand new album just released. I know as humans, we often just kind of ruminate on the past. You know, we think about all our decisions. We think about, yeah, I could have done that differently. Or, yeah, that kind of holds me up. I still have some consequences from a few decisions I made when I was young. But we get to that place where we can realize, you know, in spite of what we've done or where we've fallen short or the mistakes we've made, you can look at where you're at and still say, you know what? God wants me exactly where I am despite the things that have tripped me up. It's greater than every one of these dumb regrets that I still like want to linger on.
Yeah, this is a good segue. We wrote this song, Greater Than All My Regrets, as a sort of sequel to that song, Control. That song, Control, we wrote a couple years ago when we realized we may have to quit the band in order to love our families well, because we were just gone so much. And I don't know if anyone else struggles with this out there, but I have a tendency to say, yeah, let's make sure the career happens, and then we'll make sure the family life is good, but let's like focus on the career, make sure we have enough money. And so we made this kind of radical decision a couple years ago where we went, you know what? What's the amount of shows, what's the time away we could be where we'd still have healthy home lives? And actually, if we can't make enough money doing our career there, then we'll just quit.
Wow.
And yeah, it was pretty wild, man. And so I wrote that song, Control, going, well, here we go. Hope this doesn't all fall apart. But if it does, you know, we'll figure it out. And God, in our case at least, really seemed to come through. And all of a sudden, we realized, oh, we could be doing this way less shows. And you would have thought at that point, we would have just been on cloud nine, just fist bumping little naked baby cherubim, high fiving ponies, sparkle dust. But it actually was the opposite. I went through a long season of deep regret. And I was sitting on my kitchen floor one day crying. I have four daughters, so there's a lot of tears in my house. And I was crying, and I felt like God said, I'm greater than all your regrets. And here's what I want to say about the song. I would bet, if there are humans listening, you all have struggled with one of these three things: bitterness, anxiety, or regret. And let me just encourage you that bitterness is simply the belief that God got it wrong. Anxiety is the belief God's not going to get it right. And regret is the belief that the mistakes we made are so terrible, God can't make our lives beautiful again. But our lives are like a Bob Ross painting in the hands of God. I don't know if you remember Bob Ross.
Yeah, the big
but
fro.
But he'd always say, there's no mistakes. There's just happy accidents. And whatever mistake you hand God, he has this way. If the cross is any evidence, he can reweave our mistakes into a masterpiece.
Just a couple of minutes ago, Mike was talking about how there was a season pretty recently where you're considering maybe calling it quits, maybe doing something completely different than music anymore. And Jeff, when Mike's saying that and sitting you guys down, just saying, hey, maybe God might be leading us to think about our families differently. And then you're thinking, yeah, but how am I going to pay for all that? What was your original thought when you all sat down to really flesh through that as a band? Because that's been your livelihood for many, many, many albums now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you fall into a pattern. We started the band as these young college dudes in a van and just saying yes to everything, going everywhere we were invited. And you know, you realize after a while, you know, with more kids being born and everybody's married, and you know, you just gotta find a new path to sustainability to do that. And but the cool thing is, none of us were filled with fear and doubt that God would come through. And I know that sounds silly, like, but honestly, like, you just kind of have a peace. You're like, I know that this is the better decision. And so I trust that this is God taking us a different direction.
Yeah, you don't want to sacrifice your family on the altar of ministry, you know? So, you know, I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about my kids and being a good dad and realizing there's a little bit different priorities today than maybe I had 5 years ago. It's like, wow, there's a good reset in that.
There's a really morbid, healthy thing that I do that I would encourage your listeners to pick up. And that is the practice of, once a year on your birthday, just look up articles into the Google. Just say, top regrets of people who are dying. And just read them. And you'd be amazed, not one of them is like, man, I wish I worked myself harder. The number one regret of people who are dying is, I should have spent more time with my family. So, like, just do it, man.
This is an interview, or you want to be a co-host today, Mike?
No, we want to be a news anchor.
You want to be a news anchor?
Yes.
We want to be on the news.
Okay. Here, hold on. Let me... Chris, our producer, can you hand him the news sheet right there? I want to see the news music. Doing the news. All right, Mike.
Hello, Las Vegas. What's happening in the news around the country today? First of all, how much sleep are you getting? A new study done on adults shows that fluctuating amounts of sleep and irregular bedtimes contributes to a higher risk for obesity, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, and other health problems as well. The recommendation is that we get between 7 and 9. Who's got time to get 9?
9 hours.
9 hours of sleep in a consistent manner for optimum health benefits. They also say we should avoid caffeine, computer, TV screens, and alcohol right before bed to help you get the best quality sleep.
I've been saying 9 hours since high school. In other news, a man who was jogging in the World Trade Center area of New York City has been caught on video taking off his sneakers and giving them to a homeless man.
Oh, that's great.
In the video, the middle-aged man can be seen stopping to converse with the homeless person who is sitting next to a gutter. The jogger began removing his shoes and his sock before handing them off to the grateful homeless man.
Gotta love stories like that.
Okay, how about weather? You do weather, Mike?
You know, I was just going to say, if you're taking off your sneakers, today's probably not the day to do it.
Because
the high is going to be partly sunny, 107 degrees in the great Las Vegas today.
In Salt Lake and Ogden, sun and clouds, 92 is the high.
Cedar City, high of 90. Kingman, high and windy, high of 90. I think you're developing a theme here. It's going to be hot.
Victorville, mostly sunny, high of 98.
Missoula in the Bitterroot Valley, sun and clouds with a high of 74 with a chance of rain in Missoula.
Twin Falls, Idaho Falls, and Pocatello, did I say that correctly? Mm-hmm. I'm from out of town. Sun and clouds with a high of 77 with a chance of rain.
It's looking a lot nicer up there, guys. Also in Elko, sun and clouds with a high of 87. That's doable. Silver City, high of 88, slight chance of rain. And Key West,
cloudy with a high of 87.
Oh, you're hired. You're hired. This works. I'm sorry, Teresa. She took the vacation day today. And
her fault. Her loss.
She may not be coming back tomorrow.
Coming in at 10th Avenue North, weather for the rest of the year.
Mike, you recently wrote a book called Finding God's Life for My Will. But Jeff, being in a band with Mike, how does finding God's will for Mike's life affect you?
Mike is still trying to find his will for his life. It's like a little tugboat lost at sea.
My second book is going to be how Jeff had already found God's will for his life. And that it's going to be nice.
Take a lot of notes.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because it's really about like God's presence in the plan, right? You know, how we all think like, oh yeah, I got to find my will. I got to know what God, what do you want me to do? Or what do you want our band to do? And we realize really quick that I'm not the main character in this life.
Yeah,
God's invited
me
to be a part of it.
I wrote the book Finding God's Life for My Will because a lot of us get paralyzed in these moments where we're like, what is the next step supposed to be? And I don't want to go the wrong way. And I would say take heart in that every time in Scripture you see this is God's will for your life, it's always about your heart. It's like, be joyful, pray, like give thanks. This is God's will for your life. And so people go, but that doesn't help me. I need to know what I'm supposed to do next. And my pushback is like, maybe God doesn't care so much what you do, and he cares a lot more about how you go about it and why you do it. And so at that point, just do what you want to do. It's kind of what St. Augustine said, love God and do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, why not just go, I want to be a businessman. Well, go be a businessman. But then let God change how you go about doing business and why you do business. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like Augustine said, you know, God's always trying to give good things to us, but our hands are usually too full to actually receive them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think for me, instead of going, okay, what's the plan out there that I need to blackmail God to give me? Right.
God bless me, because your word says it's like, no, he
right,
gets to
if
do
I
what he
obey
wants.
Enough, then he owes it to me, right? That's like the older brother. So we all kind of oscillate. If you're out there, I mean, I'm looking at a picture of Las Vegas, and you've probably heard the story of the prodigal son, right? But that parable is actually the story of two sons and a ridiculously gracious father. And the older brother and the younger brother, forgive me if you're not familiar with the story, but the younger brother goes out and he just spends his inheritance, just pleasure, and then he ends up with nothing. And he comes back to his father. But then there's another brother who's like doing everything right, doing everything exactly the way he should be, who is bitter as all get out. And the story is really two brothers who are guilty of the same thing.
Yeah.
They both want something other than the father to make them happy. And so I would challenge you that maybe you're like, oh, if only God gives me this raise, or if only God gives me this career path, or if only God gives me this. And God's going, I want to give you myself. Am I not enough? Like, I want you to live in my presence and then go out and give me to the world.
So good. It's called Finding God's Life for My Will. Jeff, when you read through books like this and you think about like God's presence, you think a lot about goals, you think a lot about dreams, and a lot of times dreams change, and that's okay, right?
Yeah, we've got to be open to God coming into our lives and just shifting things around. I think that's pretty apparent in how we read the Bible and how we have experienced our lives, but we still want to hold on to the path that we feel like we know the best.
We work really hard, you know, as Christ followers. We're trying to be better. You know, we're trying to be more like Jesus. People hurt us, and we want to forgive, and we want to forget. But the forgiving part, a lot of times, feels like, you know, I'm doing this out of obedience, but the forgetting part and the rebuilding trust part, like, that's tough.
Yeah, and I think it's why so many of us carry this suspicion that God can't forgive us. It's because we don't want to forgive other people. You know, and we're like, well, surely God treats me the way I treat other people. And that it's actually why Jesus warns us, hey, if you're not going to forgive other people, I'm not going to forgive you. And that's not like an often quoted scripture verse, you know,
yeah.
But I think it's my favorite one because it reminds me of all the things that are important about my relationship with God. You know, we usually go through like, am I cursing? Am I drinking? Am I doing this? Am I doing this? Jesus warns us, hey, above everything else, you need to be worried about, am I forgiving people? I don't think he means I'm not going to forgive you. You have to go forgive people first and then I'll forgive you. What he's saying is, hey, if you're not able to forgive other people, chances are you have not actually experienced my forgiveness. Because I think it's a good litmus test if you're like, I believe God forgives me. You're like, oh, you do? Yes. Do you believe you deserve to be forgiven? No. Okay, then how good are you doing at forgiving other people? And like, well, not at all. I was like, well, so you don't deserve forgiveness from God, but you get it. But now you're not going to give that same forgiveness to other people who don't deserve it. It's like, yes. It's like, that doesn't work. You've made God's love conditional at that point.
Yeah.
You're saying, I get it unconditionally, but you people, you only get it if you X, Y, or Z. So I guess my encouragement is, let it flow, man. If you're going to receive God's forgiveness, let it flow to other people.
I know, and then you think about the whole idea of loving God and loving people, and by loving people, you're actually loving God.
Loving God. Hey, it's all connected, my man.
I don't know, what's a bigger boulder for you? Is it bitterness? Is it anxiety? Is it regret? Which one have you been trying to roll out of the way and get out from under? We've been talking with Jeff and Mike from 10th Avenue North this morning on SOS Radio.
The band was mentioning that we all have three feelings, and one was bitterness. What was that third one?
The third one was regret.
Regret. That's what I was thinking, because it kept going in my head. I'm like, no, because the song is about regret, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, bitterness is the belief God got it wrong. Anxiety is the belief he's not going to get it right. Regret is the belief the mistakes we made are so bad he can't make them beautiful again.
Perfect. perfect. I was wanting to write this on my Facebook page.
I love it. Go for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll post it on our website, too. SOS.
Good morning, Scott. I just had to call in because that song just now and the testimony just before, it was absolutely unbelievable. I'm driving to work. I've got tears in my eyes. I have often had those right song, you know, right place moments that you guys have here, but never to the extent that I just did. And sometimes when you hear people call in and tell those stories, you think, oh, but that's just for them or that's whatever. And I'm like, no, it's absolutely incredible. That testimony, will that be written down anywhere? Because I'm driving and I'm like, oh, I wish I could take notes and I can't.
Hey, yeah, this is Mike from 10th Avenue North. Thanks for calling.
Oh, Mike, that was incredible.
Yeah, I think we have that on our website somewhere. We'll make sure to post it.
That was probably the most powerful testimony I think I've ever heard on the subject of regret. And it's something that has been a boulder that I have carried and just been shrunken under the weight of for so long. And you have no idea how you took that off my shoulder this morning.
Oh, man.
So thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
Hi, Scott. Good morning. This is Amber from Hesperia.
Hey, Amber.
Hi. I was just calling because, boy, oh, boy, when the Lord wants to speak to you, he gets in your face and he speaks to you.
Oh, yeah?
Well, when you had 10th Avenue North on this morning.
Hey, yeah.
When you guys were speaking about forgiveness, that's the biggest thing I struggle with. And I realize it. And I deal with it.
Yeah.
Every day. And it was one of those moments where I'm driving in my car and I look up and I go, okay, I hear you. And it's so hard for me, but thank you so much. Because it made me realize a lot of stuff that I'm battling with.
Hmm.
So thank you so much for speaking the truth, because sometimes we need to hear it even though we don't want to.
I encourage you with this St. Augustine quote. He said, when we're bitter, it's like we're trying to stab someone with a sword that has to go through our own soul first.
You know what? It's very true, because I've been through a lot this past year with family, with friends, with forgiving stuff that's been going on and said and done, and I've turned into a person I really don't like and I really don't recognize anymore.
What's your name?
Amber.
Amber, can I pray for you really quick?
Yes.
Hey, Father, I thank you for Amber, and I thank you that she called in. I thank you she's listening. And even the fact that she is open to listening to us talk about it shows that you're working on her heart. So we thank you that she's not a lost cause, she's not some hardened rock, but that you are speaking to her and she's responding to you. But God, she needs help. And I guess my prayer would be that you would convince her how forgiven she is. Number first and foremost, because she's only going to be able to forgive others out of that place. So, Father, just like speak to her this morning, let her know that she's your child and that you love her. Maybe just all the weight, just let it fall off her shoulders right now as you remind her how cherished she is, how loved she is, and may she go and share that with the people that have been a problem with to forgive. So, pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You have no idea how much I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for calling in, Amber.
Thank you. You have a blessed day.
You're clear to go. Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store. The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.